I think we are joined by Jean Saint-Ville. Are you there, sir?
Yes. Good afternoon, sir.
Well, thank you very much for joining us. You have been at Parliament Hill today, have you not? There was a demonstration there?
Yes. We were on Parliament Hill at noon to present a letter that a number of Haitians and Canadians have endorsed to call for the Canadian foreign policy to be changed and to be more reflective of Canadian values of equity, justice. In particular, we want to fight the apartheid system that is currently established in Haiti and that the people are rising to fight.
Yeah, I noticed that language. And when you say that, is this a problem of the apartheid between what some people call the political class, the elite of the society versus the masses? What is it?
There is an apartheid established in Haiti that is very similar in the socioeconomic aspects of it to what South Africa lived under for several decades. If you go to Haiti today, you will notice a community among the government officials, of course, but also among rich Haitians who are sweatshop owners, NGO directors, among the ambassadors, and these people live up the hills. Mm-hmm. And there's also even
They're always on the hills, isn't that?
Yes.
Where you go in the world, at the top of the hill, you'll find the bad guys.
That's right. And there's unfortunately also a racial dimension to that conflict that is reminding us of the situation that South Africa struggled with, because over the past centuries, the light-skinned Haitians, mulattoes, some of them also white Americans like sweatshop owner André Apéd and Reginald Boulos, these guys have served as proxies for the United States and Europe and the multinational companies who want to exploit and continue to exploit the labor of the black masses in Haiti.
Mm-hmm. This is Jean Saint-Ville, and you take it back to me. This is a fundamental question. There was a coup in 2004, and Haiti hasn't recovered from that at all, has it?
No. And in fact, this is part of the fallacy we want to expose, the idea that there is a so-called Haitian government. What you have in Haiti is a successful coup that was covered by UN occupation. In fact, foreign soldiers were involved directly in the coup. That was under George Bush II. Mm-hmm. And they had a coalition which involved France, some European countries, some Latin American countries, and unfortunately also Canada, which participated in the kidnapping and exile of Haiti's legitimate president, Jean-Bertrand Aristide, and his wife. They separated them from their two little girls, and they deposed the 7,000 elected officials, Haitian officials, back in 2004.
In one fell swoop, 7,000 and plus?
7,000. Yes. These, all of them elected from local municipality level all the way to the president. And the United States, they went to some guy who was living in Boca Raton, Florida, who never lived in Haiti, against what the Haitian Constitution calls for a prime minister to have lived five consecutively years in the country. They just completely disregarded all of that and imposed this puppet, Gérard Latortue, as prime minister. They picked their own president, and that's what they've been doing since 2004. They choose the most vile and corrupt members of Haitian society. They put them up as so-called presidents. They give them all kinds of titles. And the same thing has happened in the Haitian Senate. Known drug dealers, in fact, one of them, Guy Philippe, was involved in the coup. He was with the paramilitaries who were equipped. Some of them were wearing uniforms from the U.S. Army while they were training in Dominican Republic. they conducted the coup, and now what they try to do is to cover it up, Guy-Philippe, that paramilitary leader, criminal, run for office, and he was about to enter the Senate when the United States picked him up because he was also known as a drug dealer who was running away from the DEA. Mm-hmm. So they got involved to be a victim of their own participation in illegal activities with those thugs.
Yeah, and by the way, their difference with Mr. Aristide, who I think it's the world knows if they know his name, that he was the one clearly popular leader in modern times of Haiti. They had a problem with wanting to govern really the how Haiti functioned. Right? I mean, for example, I mean today we have this issue of the increase in price of gas. That was a direct decision by the International Monetary Fund.
Yes, the IMF.
An order. Now, Mr. Aristide represented a problem with that because he had a popular political base and he could say no, or at least he had the will to say no when ordered, right?
And in fact, that's exactly what happened when he was president. So he increased the minimum wage twice. He also took measures so that the state-owned enterprises like the telephone, the ports, would remain national property so that the Haitian Treasury can have access to funds that are independent of the IMF and the World Bank, and they refused that. In fact, there were loans that were approved under the Aristide government that he was never receiving because they were demanding that he pays interest on loans that were conducted by the earlier dictatorship. And so there was a strangulation of the Aristide government, just like they have done the same thing with the governments of Venezuela under either Chavez or Maduro. So it's a consistent policy of the white supremacist powers to oppose any progressive government in Latin America. And in Haiti, it gets even more difficult because there is a racial dimension in it, because the Haitian population has stood up against white supremacy ever since Christopher Columbus landed on that island in 1492.
Mm-hmm. This is Jean Saint-Ville, and there was a demonstration at Parliament Hill. By the way, tell us a little bit about the demonstration. Who spoke, or what kind of signs? What were people saying?
Well, it was really lively. We had an excellent mix of people of Haitian descent and other Canadians who showed up. They were saying that, to the United States, Canada, Europe, OAS, and the United Nations, you kidnapped our real leaders and installed your puppets. Mm-hmm. End apartheid in Haiti. The foreign occupation and its puppets failed. Return Haiti to Haitians. We thirst for water. You brought us cholera.
Yes.
This, to understand that, is that in order to consolidate the coup in 2004, they mobilized United Nations troops under the so-called responsibility to protect, which is a new excuse used to deploy foreign troops.
They used that argument?
That's what they used in 2004. And so those troops these troops were there to protect, of course, the rich, the multinational corporations from the black population, basically to protect them from what you've seen happening since Friday. Mm-hmm. And it so happens that in 2010, in October 2010, those troops brought cholera to the island, which was not ever present on the island. So they've contaminated over 1 million Haitians,
and
killing
by the way, I remember they denied it, and then they admitted it.
Exactly. When they finally reluctantly admitted it after all kinds of scientific studies have proven that the cholera was brought by the United Nations, then their last argument was that they have diplomatic immunity. And therefore, the Haitians tried to call the United Nations to court. The United States defended the United Nations in a court in New York and refused to pay reparations to the families of over 30,000 patients that have been killed by cholera.
And from reading your statements, that was the Obama administration.
Oh, it doesn't matter what administration is in the White House. Whether the president is the so-called black man or white man, it doesn't matter. The policy of the United States towards Haiti remains constant. And like I said, Hillary Clinton's brother, Tony Radam, he got involved with the corrupt regime that was established in Haiti, Martelly, so that he got a seat on the board of directors of CES Mining, which is one of the companies that had access to a large portion of gold mines in Haiti.
He did okay.
Yeah.
It's an ill wind that blows nobody any good.
Well, and the Clinton Foundation, which was essentially bankrupt before the earthquake in Haiti, and then Bill Clinton was given a job as a special representative of the United Nations in Haiti while Hillary Clinton was Secretary General in the United States. And so they collected billions of dollars in the name of impoverished Haitians. And today, if you go check the books, you will see that the Clinton Foundation is doing very well, thank you very much, while Haiti is what's the name of this guy, the orange guy in Washington, he calls Haiti a hole.
Yes.
Because it's obvious that the $10 billion collected in the name of Haitians was not spent on Haitians or by Haitians. Bill Clinton has a lot of explaining to do with regards to the whereabouts of that money.
And he knows he'll never have to explain. Tolstoy had a good line that the wealthy will do anything for you except get off your back.
Well, that's the thing. And that's why we're calling on Canadians to be citizens of their own countries, for Americans to be citizens of their own countries, so we can hold them to account so that they don't commit those crimes in our names.
Yes. Well, now tell us who's this little group, the core group that makes all the big decisions, and that sort of thing? Who dreamt that up?
These days, you have to have all kinds of acronyms to camouflage when you are involving in illegal activities. So there used to be a group called the Friends of Haiti. You can already...
Captain Kidd led that group. Yeah,
but Haiti doesn't get to choose its friends, okay? Mm-hmm. So I can tell you that Cuba, who sends hundreds of doctors to tend to Haitians in Haiti, are not part of that group. Venezuela is not part of that group. So the Friends of Haiti include France.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And now France, this is the country that ransomed the Africans of Haiti who fought against racial slavery. And France collected a ransom, the equivalent of $40 billion between 1825 and 1947. Essentially, one out of eight French person was living off the backs of Haitians for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Okay, so that money was collected by the
French. So they're
French
among the friends. Now they've come to help again.
They're the Friends of Haiti. And so what they do is that they have special seat within the Organization of American States. And when meetings are happening in the United Nations about Haiti, these mostly white people sit down and they make decisions about the future of Haiti.
Hmm.
And unfortunately, one such meeting happened here at Mitch Lake in Ottawa, in the Gatineaus, January 31st, February 1st, 2003. And that's when these white people decided that the Haitian president must be overthrown, Haiti must be put under UN tutelage, and they must return with the army.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who wants to learn more about this can go on Google and type the Ottawa Initiative on Haiti.
Ottawa.
And what they will, the Ottawa Initiative on Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And that meeting was exposed by journalist Michel Vastel in L'Actualité. But 1 year after that article was published, the coup did happen exactly as it was prophesied.
Mm-hmm.
Haiti was put under UN tutelage, the president was kidnapped, and now they are working to reestablish the army because in order for Canadian companies like Eurasian Minerals to go in Haiti, like they have concession on 10% of the territory in the northeast, so they can exploit the gold because there are large gold mines in Haiti. There's also oil in Haiti. in order for them to go and take that land and have no responsibility to take environmental protection, to do any assessment, and so that they can just use corruption money and pay off some fool that they've imposed on Haitians as fake presidents, that's what they need to do. What we're saying,
I think you point out Canadian mining companies, they get to bypass basically any Haitian oversight. They come there.
They don't need to follow any rules. They don't follow any rules. And what we're saying to our current prime minister is that it doesn't have to be like that. Canadian prestige can be defended and supported in Haiti by investing in better things. That is, you know, we are good in science and technology. Why don't we go in there and help the efforts that are happening in the education system? Why don't we, you know, negotiate normal relationships, commercial relationships, so our mining companies can go and help exploit the gold in Haiti, but negotiate with a legal, a normal government that takes protection for the environment in Haiti. So it's a win-win situation. But what they want to do is to just go in there, exploit the territory, and leave nothing for the indigenous people of Haiti. This is not going to happen. Yeah. The black people of the world, including myself, you will have to go over our dead bodies in order to do that. Not in 2018. It just won't happen. Yeah. Black lives matter in Haiti, in Canada, everywhere.
Yeah, you remind them in your statement, by the way, I hope this is easily available online, you remind them that this is the decade of peoples of African descent.
And, that's right.
And the Liberal government of Canada says it.
They endorse that.
They endorse that.
Yes, but it cannot be just rhetoric or wind. Mm-hmm. It has to be meaningful.
Yes.
And there's no reason for it not to be because
Go ahead. Well, I wanted to ask, is there any voices in Parliament? Surely somebody is hearing what you have to say. Is there any of the parties going to say something about this problem that being imposed on the people by the IMF and others?
Well, what I can tell you is that if you Google the Ottawa Initiative on Haiti, you might fall on some documents that were classified, and journalist Anthony Fenton made a request for access to information, and they released some of these documents, but they were all blackened. So you can't, most of the pages, you can't read anything.
Yes.
However, MP Van Robinson, we will always give him that, on Parliament Hill, he raised the issue with regard to the coup when it happened back in 2004. And so this was actually discussed on Parliament Hill. And so people can go on the records of Parliament and they will see that there were people who stood up to ask the government at the time, why did you participate in the overthrow of a legal president of a foreign country, a friendly country?
Yes.
And now, 14 years later, because the theory at the time was that these black people cannot self-govern. We're going to show them how to do it. 14 years later, Haitians are poorer than they were 14 years earlier.
With cholera.
With cholera on top of it.
Yes.
And so that's why when activists are saying that, you know, foreign aid or Oxfam is not going to change the situation in Africa or in Haiti, but reparations are required. A lot of people get nervous and threatened by that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is saying that we're going to reverse slavery, okay, and make other people work for 500 years so that black people can become rich. That's not what they're saying. They're saying something was broken. We know who broke it. We can see that it is broken. It needs to be repaired.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for it to be repaired, money that was stolen from these people needs to be mobilized for their economy.
Yes.
So, for instance, the money that France stole from Haiti, which is the equivalent of $40 billion, this is not money that Haiti is begging France about. It's, you know, vol à main armée. That's how you say it in French. It's armed robbery in broad daylight. And they collected that money with help from the Americans. So what we're saying is that in international justice, the people of Haiti, in particular the black people of Haiti, because that's the majority of the population, these are the people who are suffering, they deserve to have restitution of their resources that were stolen from them. And we think that most Canadians would support that. Unfortunately, it doesn't cost anything to say that we endorse the decade of people of African descent.
Yes.
We're not you know, speeding on that. That's an important declaration. But to make that declaration have any sense, you have to support things that improve the lives of people of African descent.
Yeah, they say there has to be the letter and the spirit of the law, not simply a nice sentiment.
Exactly. And that shouldn't have anything to do with which government is in power in Canada, because I think we will all agree that no one in Canada right now would want to have a government that is supportive of white supremacy, but rather a government that is truly multi-ethnic and that is also thinking about a humanity that is at peace with history. But in order for that history to bring us peace, there has to be repair. We cannot, you know, like, let's just take the refugee situation. In Europe, they are nervous about Africans crossing the Mediterranean. In the United States, they're nervous about the Mexican coming back to their native land. Mm. Okay, in Florida, they're afraid that black Haitians are going to cross the ocean and land in Florida. Well, how are you going to solve that issue if you don't help these people to live at peace in their own country?
Yes.
You can't stop the Africans from crossing the Mediterranean to go and at least to go see where all the gold poultron that they have stolen for their land have been taken.
They're following it to see who took it.
Exactly. Yes. It's simple as that.
Yeah, I'm afraid we have to leave it there, but we're very glad we could talk to you, Jean Saint-Ville. And we look forward. We hope there will be more demonstrations, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
I appreciate the support, Phil, and I appreciate the fact that you signed the letter and that we got this opportunity to share this. You know, unfortunately, on CBC, you will see very little analysis of the situation in Haiti. They will give you those 5-minute things that make you think that, oh, these are a whole bunch of black people who are creating havoc again.
I'll remind people
that these people are not in the streets because their soccer team won or lost,
as we've
seen in Toronto in the past. These people are in the streets because they cannot eat, they cannot breathe, and they're calling out to you, their brother, to be their keeper, to stand up. At least take the time to go read something, learn something about the deep causes. We've asked the CBC to go do an investigative piece on Haiti to find out where did all the money that Canadians collected to send to Haiti in 2010 has gone.
Well, we're going to do that.
Yes, do it, please. Do it. We need to do it because the people who gave were generous and they deserve intelligent answers, not sound bites that people are spinning.
Well, Jean Saint-Ville, thank you very, very much.
Appreciate it, brother.
Okay, bye-bye. Taylor Report, CIT. Phil Connor, thank you. Michael, thank you. And we'll see you next week.